This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. Welcome. This is the Watchman. We're glad you made it. Come on in.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman and Tower. Tonight on the show, there is truth and there are lies. The world is full of lies and liars. But except for this one truth, you would never know truth and the love of the one who came to us. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the 11th day of August, 2017. We are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and this is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The readings in the Word this week are found in Deuteronomy chapter 7, starting at verse 12, through chapter 11, verse 25. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 14, through chapter 51, verse 3. The New Testament portion is John, chapter 7, starting at verse 1 through chapter 8, verse 59. Go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to check out the featured posts for the recommended reading this week. Prophecy, World Moving Toward Global War. End time prophecy is moving quickly, while global war threatens and chaos seems to rule. There is guidance and a word for all remnant believers in Jesus Christ. The answer was simple, and this man got his greatest miracle. As a little child, faith, Jesus, and the man born blind, the greatest miracle was very real. There was no answer except Jesus did heal the man born blind. Yet to the learned of the scriptures, they had no idea. Prophecy's long shadow is a shadow cast over the entire world, and prophecy is the bearer of change for a world that is destined to be in the throes of chaos. But the earth is subject to our great God and Savior, to whom the ends are written. You can find us on Facebook, Google+, LinkedIn, Vimeo, Blog Talk, and on Twitter. Get the latest updates on the WIBR, Warn Radio events, shows, and more. To follow us on Twitter, go to hashtag WatchmanIS216. Hashtag WGS underscore Watchman or hashtag Warn Radio. And to find out more about following us on our podcast and other items, go to the website at www.warn-usa.com, where we have extensive information on the sidebars of the blog. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Sound the Shofar. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Good. It's Friday. Praise the Lord.
Yes, and we are about a week away from the great great summer eclipse of 2017. And all the preparations around here, people are preparing, and they're just going to have to do the best they can do. Managers and store owners and hotel owners, managers, they've been meeting for some time to try to make sure everything is ship shape. The roads ain't quite where they need to be. They've got a week to take care of some of this stuff.
Oh, it's a mess out there, too.
So, but at any rate, we're looking to go, raring to go. And we are going to, on that week of the eclipse, we're going to be doing some special broadcasts, recordings and stuff. And we're going to see how all this goes. So right now the plans are we won't be doing any shows on that week. We'll tell you more about it as we go, and the information will be on our website at warren-usa.com. So at any rate, we are counting down, you should say. Of course, the big thing we're counting down to, I mean, we're going to get this eclipse out of the way, but we're looking for harvest, we're looking for fall, the fall feasts. Because around here, you know, we do grow stuff, we do put stuff up, can it and dehydrate it, and we've been doing that for quite a number of years, and so we look forward to, being able to grow our own food and prepare it and do a lot of things like that. So this is a busy time for us. It's busy enough anyway, but a big shout out to all of our friends around the world, and we have a lot of them out there, and we also have a big shout out here to all those that watch all of our shows and follow them on Vimeo, because we do a live, actually a video feed of this, not a feed, more or less. The feed is on Vimeo, but I record this as we're doing it, so we have both audio and video, and we've been doing that for many, many years, and so we've got quite a little crowd that follow us, and we thank them for it, and but the idea is to get the word out, and so this is what we work to do. And right now we are using the Spreaker Studio, and we've got our own app, Android app you can find in Google Play. It's Warren Radio Remnant Battle Lines radio app. And you can also get the link on our websites, warren-usa.com. So get the app and join us. You'll be able to listen whenever you want, download whenever you want, and go from there. Our Thursday night broadcasts that we have are 3 hours long. They begin at 6:30. We have an hour worth of prophecy news and world events that Tower and I do. And then we have 2 hours of in-depth teaching. And on our Friday night, it is our Sound of the Shofar. It's our, getting into the weekend, beginning Shabbat or the Sabbath. It includes a time of chit-chat that Tower and I do, recalling things and talk about general things that are in the news, and then we get into in-depth teaching. So join us Thursday, Friday. We all begin, and I say at 6:30, but sometimes it might be a little bit after that, because we're not on a permanent time schedule, where we're dealing with a big corporate entity that we have to begin right at 6:30. But 6:30, if you're on our chats and stuff, just give it a thing. We'll be there momentarily, because it's 6:30. Now coming up the week of the eclipse, we're not going to be having the Thursday night, Friday night thing, but we will have be doing some recordings and stuff about this thing. We're going to set up a little outside little area where we can view it and where we can discuss what's going on. So we're looking forward to that. So at any rate, I guess we're just going to have to, go from there. At any rate, we welcome you to join us on these nights and listen to us on our radio app. We're going to be getting an iPhone app, but, we need you to get the app. because it's no sense getting a nap if no one really wants to get a nap. So it's as simple as that. We're not going to invest in another app. We're not a big ministry, and if it just isn't working, then we'll go to another thing there. But for right now, you know, the broadcasts are going. Spreaker has been a good setup. We are on a lot of places. So at any rate, Tower, as we sit here and we look forward to this this eclipse, you know, there's a little bit of a kind of a...
anxiety?
Yeah, anxiety. Don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, yes. People I talk to that live here in town don't look forward to it because of the crowds, and they've talked a lot about things. For example, the cell phones might not work correctly. They don't know if the police are going to be able to handle all the situations, and there's probably going to be, they're concerned about vandalism and human trafficking. You know, they said keep an eye on your kids.
Well, you know, one thing about being in Wyoming, we are a right to carry state.
Yes.
So you got to be careful what child you're trying to molest, because they may have a mom or daddy with a gun that'll shoot your butt and the rest of you too. We have a right here in this state to protect ourselves. And you know, there's many a Democrat that wanted to take that right away, and Rahm Emanuel and Obama, they're the two main culprits, along with Pelosi and the rest of the Democratic. The bottom line of it is that Chicago, who has some of the toughest gun rights, also is the nation's murder capital. So go figure that one out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I was listening to he's still a Black Panther, but he's like 80 now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you remember the Black Panthers back in the 60s and how violent they were? And they clamped down through the FBI. I was listening to him today a little bit. He was being interviewed by this fella. And he still sounds as radical as the day that he was with him. And he didn't like, he came out and said it. He doesn't like conservatives and right-wingers and all these others. And I was sitting there listening to him, and this is a guy that hadn't been conservative his whole life. And he sees all conservatives as being the ones propping up America, you know. And so this is really what some of these radicals are looking at, is that if you're a patriot, if you're conservative, if you're, any of those things, not to mention a Christian, you're a target, because they think you're part of the problem. And I got news for you. You know, you don't know what you're talking about. And you know, to be honest with you, I think you're just as radical. And as far as I'm concerned, I have heard the new Black Panther Party, and I've heard their spokesman, and they are black bigots who will go out and slaughter and kill crackers. And so I don't have any compunction about it. The Black Panthers were no good back then, and the new Black Panthers are no good today. And he likes, all the other up-and-rising black groups, you know.
Oh, I'm sure. He's unrepentant.
And
I'm sure.
So, the bottom line of it is that people like him promote this black stereotype, white stereotype baloney, and they promote racial divide as well. You know, I was raised, among Indians and Mexicans and others, and cowboys, hippies, you know, you name it. And I had friends with all of them. I had some enemies with all of them, but I had friends. And so we weren't raised like that.
No.
And, You know, I remember a number of these groups out of the 60s, and they were violent. And this is where some of Barack Obama's roots comes from, and some of the people that he was connected from came out of the 60s. And so I don't agree with the defunctory processes of the 60s or the people who participated in them. And so, you know, I don't follow that. And if you don't like patriots and conservatives, that's your own business, you know. But if it hadn't been for Christians praying for this country, you wouldn't even have a stinking country to live in, buddy. And I got news for you. There's a lot of blacks that go to churches, and they're conservatives and they're Christians as well. So you are one of the divisive people, and Jesse Lee Patterson is a black pastor in L.A., and I interviewed him, and he talks to people about people like you who are black, and they promote this racial divide and hysterical mania that you people hang on to. And it's filled the Democratic Party to the point that most of the Democrat is full of schizos and weirdos. And I mean, Maxine Waters is one of the weirdest schizophrenic, politicians we got on the planet today. You know, someone suggested in an article that they need to send Maxine to North Korea because she was coming out saying, well, Trump, Trump's going to start a war against poor North Korea, and she didn't want that. And
poor
all this
North stuff. Korea?
Yeah, poor North Korea. I know that.
Oh, my goodness. She needs to go to North Korea.
Well, you know.
See how she liked it.
I was talking to the warrior today, and we were chatting about a bunch of that and talking about North Korea as well. And I told him what Rush Limbaugh said. He said, why should we be afraid of a pimple on a pig? You got to love Rush, you know. I mean, you know, this Kim Jong-un was just a nincompoot, young man. He was nobody, you know, until they decided to put him in there as ruler.
Yeah.
And but see, this is a bloody kid. You know, you don't want to feel sorry for this moron because he's killed a bunch of people over there, including his own family, because he didn't want them to take over rule. I mean, he's solidified his power, killing off people, including officers in his own army. So this is no kid that you couldn't trust this kid.
Yeah, that's a fact.
So at any rate, other than that, I don't know. You know, we had our news program and our everything, and it's over on our website and over on Vimeo. But, you know, tonight we are going to be in 1 John for a while. We're going to be discussing No Greater Love and heading off into the weekend. And we do like this because this is the time we... we sound the shofar, which you're supposed to do on Shabbat. And this is our gathering time that you do on Shabbat as well. And we get into the Word and, go from there. So, the bottom line of it is that this whole world is in a mess.
Oh, yes, it is.
So at any rate, I look at it, and we're through July.
Yeah, almost the middle of August now.
You know, and around here in our neck of the woods, many times when a season comes and goes, it's with a month. July is our hottest month, and July was really hot around here for us. But as soon as we got to August, we cooled off. Probably anywhere from 15 to 30 degrees cooler. And it's going to be a little warmer next week, but not a lot warmer. It's not going to be like it was. But, we do see definite changes of the seasons, don't we, Tower?
Well, we do.
And of course,
it's like, oh, it happens overnight too. It's not gradual. It's just,
yeah, it's really, really weird, huh?
Yeah.
It's just like one minute you're in winter, and then you get in spring, and we can always tell we're in spring. And then spring continues, and it seems like it's a little long, then all of a sudden it turns to summer. Because spring, early spring, can go anywhere from March, even up till June. And June, a lot of times June won't even be real hot. But July is the hottest, and I always used to think that August was the hottest.
Well, I remember growing up that July and August were the hottest months. We'd have temperatures into the hundreds. Now they don't even get to 100. Well, pretty close. But.
Well, see, last year, how many times did we make it to 100? Not many.
I don't remember.
Not many. So we don't really go there. And then, of course, fall comes, and fall can be really long. Now, see,
last year,
I had stuff growing around here. I had fresh spinach till December, and that's kind of that's real unusual for Wyoming. And then I put some straw around it, and I uncovered it in January, and it was still growing. And we had had cold weather and snow, so it's kind of unusual the way all that goes, but...
Yeah, it was fun, though.
Yeah. So, at any rate, we hope that where you're at, that you're enjoying, have been enjoying the summer. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are, you know, in this country that are going to be looking at this eclipse. But it is a natural wonder. It's something we can find in Scripture and prophecy. And so I've written a bunch of articles following this whole thing, and you can read them over on warren-usa.com. And I describe it, talk about it in there, and if you're interested in this kind of thing, go on over there and you'll find them. If you're coming up to this area, if you don't have a hotel room, you're too late. I don't know where you're going to stay, but...
Out of luck. Yep.
Yeah, you're out of luck. Because they don't have any room. We got the parks, but I don't know what they're going to do. Have no idea. So, at any rate, I guess we'll all find out. We don't plan on going anywhere during that time because we're in a location that we can sit here and watch it. So, you know, as long as the Lord cooperates and allows it to be a beautiful day for it, you know, and I really think it will be because, you know, this thing does have a number of prophetic signs with it. It has a message with it. And we've been talking about that for quite a while.
Yes, we have. Months.
So at any rate, let's see, Donald Trump, I don't know, I haven't I don't know, last time I heard he was going to rain fire down on Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un responded that we're going to attack Guam in the next number of hours and we're going to send multiple missiles. China did come out, though, today. Or their news agency, one of their main thing, and they said that China will not intervene in this thing between North Korea and the U.S. if North Korea starts it. They said that if America starts it, they will join North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And they will help North Korea. But, you know, they just flat told North Korea that... don't go provoking the United States.
Good.
So I hope that Kim Jong-un doesn't. And, you know, I mean, prophecy does point out war's coming. But I just soon not have one right now. So if it's all the same to y'all.
yeah.
You know, but... the bottom line of it is this stuff is coming. And I do put a lot of this in perspective in the articles I write. And so I urge you to check those out. You know, I was thinking about the book. I got to get working on that. I'm going to, you know, we get through this, you know, eclipse. I want to get on that because I've got a number of other books I want to write. I want to do some stuff. So, you know, I've just got to, we got to get that published. I got to get this book published. And so we're in the, going to do that. But, see, what else is going on around here?
Oh, I don't know. Lots of stuff, I guess.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, I'm glad that there are some companies that are closing their doors on this eclipse.
Me too. No, Sadie. No, no, no.
You shouldn't be talking to the dog while we're online, dear.
Well, she was talking. Did you hear?
You can't do that.
She wants to join in with the neighborhood dogs. They're barking up a fit out there, and she wants to go. And I told her no.
You know, these dogs around here have a screw loose. I think they're all related to Maxine Waters. But then I hate
they're
to...
They're not that bad.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They're not quite that bad. Maxine, though, she's... You know, these guys that write the stories on her, they get these pictures of her and put her on the thing, and then they talk about how she's so mad and everything, and she really does look like she's just an escapee from a mental institution.
Yeah, she does. She looks angry. She's angry and bitter.
Yeah.
She's got a hateful spirit about her. That's tragic. That's bad.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, she may be a lovely woman, but I haven't seen that side of her.
No, I haven't either.
You know, I mean, really. And, you know, I don't know what's happening up there in the White House, and all I can say is I'm glad I don't live in D.C. because, you know, the fact of it is, you know, Chris and I were talking about that today as well. I mean, the warrior. And, we were talking about the various people up there, like Paul Ryan, Rand Paul, and the others, and who needs to go. And he was talking about, well, they all need to go except for just a few of them. I thought they all needed to go, but I said, you know what they need? I said they need a Patton. You know, Patton knew how to make war. He knew his enemy, and he knew how to win.
Yeah.
And you need somebody like Patton that will just go in there, bull through, get it done, get rid of people that are in the way, make a way, get her done, and be done with it. See, that's Patton. Now, see, Donald Trump goes in there, but Donald Trump is not a politician. So he's operating just from the business standpoint, and you can't really do that and win in politics. And see, Patton just didn't go in there just because he was bullheaded. He knew war. He knew his men. He knew how to fight. He knew how to win against the enemy. And what you need is a Patton, politically speaking, that can go in there and knows how to win and can get people out of the way if they're in the way, no matter what it is. I mean, and that's really what you need. And right now, the Republicans are just... I'm not a Republican, folks, and I'm not a Democrat. I'm not an independent. You know, I mean, all of Congress is pathetic as far as I'm concerned. You know, and the biggest thing of it is the Republicans for years and years have been saying we're going to overturn Obamacare, you know, when we get the majority and we have a president that'll sign it. Well, they got a president that'll sign something, but then they didn't carry through.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, these Republicans come out, you know, looking as losers, absolute losers. And the Democrats come out looking like they're just like on some kind of, you know, pill or something. You know, I mean, they just come out crazed, you know, and it's just a pathetic situation all the way around.
Oh, it is.
But
it
see, when you got a nation that's turned away from the Lord God, that's the kind of thing you're going to see. You know, you can't expect the blessings of God on a nation that's turned away. And this nation is not going to turn back anytime soon. It's not. I don't care what watchman, what preacher, and what prophet tells you, this nation ain't turning around.
Nope.
Period.
It's too late.
Too late. Unfortunately. But yeah. That doesn't mean that, God can't give you extra time to get your affairs in order and do various things. And, at any rate, we're going to get going on this thing. So I'm going to go ahead and do this. You got anything you got to do before we get into this?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, let's do her. I'll see you on the other side.
Sounds good.
Now, we are in no greater love. This is part two. And you could call this testimony. No greater love. We're going to be in 1 John 2. And we're starting at verse 19. When we talk about no greater love, we can remember what the Lord said. When he says that when you have a friend that's willing to die for you, to give his life for you, there's no greater love than that. You know, John 3:16, classic, for God so loved. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul talks about the love of the truth, which is the gospel, the Father loving. I went through this last time. But, you know, this is really the idea. There is no greater love. There's no greater God. There's no other Savior. And the world does not want that. So the world, and you can find this in Psalm 2, works to break the cords of the bonds that God has placed, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, even the things that he's commanded in science, the way he put together the DNA chains, and the whole nine yards. Now see, man at every level is looking to change all that. They've got AI, they've got robots, they're changing the DNA, they're creating DNA structures. They're doing all kinds of things that no one would think was possible. And even, you know, in the time of, if we go back to the time of Paul and even to the prophets that prophesied and go back to all these, nobody back then could have understood that there would come a time when man would have so much knowledge they could make a boy into a girl and a girl into a boy. They still haven't figured a way to change their makeup. That is, they're inside, so they can change the plumbing, but inside, they're still a boy. They think like a boy, like a male. And so they've got to do things to change that thinking that they have. And so there's just a lot of things today that is so different. And in rebellion against God. So when we're talking about a no greater love, you know, God could destroy everything tomorrow, but he's not going to do it because he loves us. And even the malefactors, the wicked, you know, judgment is going to rain down on them. But God does not delight in the death of the wicked. And so this is the situation we have. And in John 2, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they'd no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest or plain that they were not all of us. And, you know, even the Apostle Paul, he said, when I leave, grievous wolves will enter in, not sparing the flock. And they did. And they have. And that was a long time ago, and we've had grievous wolves that has been in the flock, established, rooted, and grounded in the traditions of men in the Christian church, and have changed fundamental ideas on it and have led people astray. And the original ones came out of the midst of the apostles and went on their own. But John here in verse 20 says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. That unction, that's the anointing. You have an anointing, you have a calling, and you have the Spirit of God. And he says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Now see, Christ said, that if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The word here is truth, the word of God. And so we have, individuals today, people today that know the Lord, they know the truth. Make no mistake, there's a lot of people that may not know the truth and do not know the truth. But there are those that absolutely know the truth. I know the truth. Tower knows the truth. Our kids know the truth. But see, John is pointing out something here as he's writing to his children. Because he wants to bring something up. He says, who is a liar? Okay? Now see, in the midst of all of this, these people knew the truth. But he still brought this up. Because although they knew the truth, there were people that came out from the midst of the apostles that were going around and spreading false doctrine and false teaching and getting people confused and tearing them away from the faith. So he writes him, he says, I know that you know the truth. Now, he says, who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. Now see, in the end of days, this is the key to finding everything out. Now you see, when we look at the word here, he says, he is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Now we are not waiting for the Antichrist. The word Antichrist is not used in conjunction with what we in the Christian church have always called the Antichrist. He's referred to in 2 Thessalonians 2 as the son of perdition. And in Revelation 13, there's two beasts. And of course, the first one is the main one. And the second one is the false prophet, because he speaks as, he comes as a lamb, but he spake as a dragon, deceitfully. That's who we're looking at. But both, all of, these figures. Now, the one, the son of perdition, in 2 Thessalonians 2, in Revelation 13, the beast. When we put these things together, the same, they're a different description for the same event and the same one that's coming. And you have that Antichrist, and you have him lifting up the first beast. And, of course, we've always referred to that first one as the Antichrist, and he has a false prophet. But see, this one is the beast. But he is also Antichrist, because this one will deny the Father and the Son. But if we were just to say that we're waiting on the Antichrist, that's wrong, because the one that's coming is a lot more than just Antichrist. He is one that is anti-God, the Father, anti-Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. He is anti-heaven. He is anti-everything associated with the gospel. And he's also anti-Jewish. He's anti a lot of things. He's the beast. He is the spitten image of the Dark One. And you could call him Satan incarnate, just as Christ was incarnate. But this is a reproduction of the devil in human form. And so he's going to be anti-Christ, all right, and he's going to deny the Father and the Son. Now, John is pointing out not the one to the end times. He's talking about people that are there, that are in the midst of all of the people that the apostles are dealing with, especially John here. And he wants the people who he's writing here to know that, hey, you need to understand this, that this is a liar. They come in among you, they come out from us, and so they will use that. You know, well, I came from Jerusalem, I know Peter, I know these others, and this is what we're doing. No, he's a liar. See, and this is just how the devil works. And he always has one foot in something legitimately to make you think he's bringing the truth, but he's not. And so just because you have somebody in the pulpit doesn't mean that they know what they're talking about. Just because you have some denomination, see, and you know, this is very important, especially in these day and age. And Christ warned specifically of the false prophets, the false Christs that were going to be here in the end of days. You know, many, many years ago, I was covering a lot of false Christs. I mean, they called themselves Jesus Christ. And one even had a group down in Florida. Another one had a group in Australia. And, you know, I covered, and there was another one over, and I think it was Russia, somewhere over there in Europe. And I did articles on all these people. And, you know, this is really what we have to watch for. But he says, whoever denieth the Son, the same has not the Father, but he acknowledgeth the Son, has the Father also. Now see, this gets into specific groups. Islam denies the Son and the Father. They believe in Allah. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, he's a good teacher. He was a prophet. He failed. And that's why Muhammad had to come. See, this is... See, this is the difference here. And we've had Christian pastors that stood up and said Christians and Muslims serve the same God. That's a lie out of the pit of hell, and the guy don't know what he's talking about. But the bottom line, if it is that we have to be aware that there are people out there that don't believe the Father and the Son, and they're Antichrist. You know, Jude goes so far, if someone comes into you and brings not this doctrine that you have heard from us, do not bid him Godspeed, because you're a partaker of his evil deeds. We're not supposed to receive people like that. Now, see, in America, everything's okay. But it's not okay. And in these end of days, we need to make sure that there is a no greater love, and there is that one who fulfilled that no greater love, which was the Father and the Son. And they have, through that no greater love, redeemed us. But there is coming a dark one and a liar and a thief who's going to set himself up as God in the temple of God. And he's going to do many signs and wonders, and people are going to believe him. And he's going to be given power over the world. This is how detrimental this is when we talk about it. This is not going to go away. And you need to make sure your kids are boned up on this, you're boned up on it, and you understand. If you're a Christian, you either believe this or you don't. And believe me, I've had talks, extended talks with preachers who had congregations and churches, and they didn't believe the Son was the Son. And in this case, they believed the Father and the Son are the same one. There's not two distinct entities. Now, Christ said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and that's true. the Father and I one. That's true. But there's still, there's a Father in heaven and there's a Son in heaven right now too. Now see, this is what you need to understand. Well, of course, this preacher couldn't explain that when Christ was baptized, a voice came out of heaven, which was the Father's. The Holy Spirit descended as a dove. And Jesus, Yahshua, was in the water being baptized. That, you know, if, even though you may not be a Trinitarian, you can see that there's three distinct. There's the Holy Spirit, there's God the Father, and God the Son that's being baptized. Now, you see, you can't fudge around Scripture, but a lot of these preachers do. And he even got to the point where he apologized to the congregation because he thought he had been teaching it wrong. And I talked to him for 3 hours. I just left. You know, this guy didn't want to hear the truth. Of course, he's the one that brought it up to me anyway. So we left friends, but, you know, I mean, I really wasn't his friend. We were talking about some business and stuff. But, you know, he is what he is. If that's what he wants, that's up to him. I can't stop him and his congregation. And you'll find in America and the world, people are going to do what they're going to do. You know, and you're not going to be able to stop them. If they want to do it, they're going to do it. If they want to believe it, they're going to believe it. But see, the bottom line of it is, you got to set your foundation in the truth. And the truth is the Word of God, period. And so we have the Bible, we call the Word of God, but in fact, Yahshua is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And when he spoke, he said, my words are spirit and they are life. He talked about I am. He talked about being the Son of God. And so this is the difference today. And of course, in this, the real question is, who is a liar? The liar is whoever denies the Son. You don't have the Father. If you deny that Jesus is the Christ, you're an antichrist. And when you say Jesus is the Christ, you're saying that he is the Son of Almighty God. That's who a liar is. And in the world, we have a lot of liars and deceivers. And if you've got children, you need to protect them. You need to make sure they know what to believe. And for children, you know, one of the things that you learn, and I was raised in a Methodist, and, you know, I mean, it was fine. I knew Jesus. I knew the Father. You know, I was taught all that. But I didn't understand full commitment because I was raised, of course, by that time, the Methodist Church wasn't the shouting Methodists they used to be. Methodists was really, really, at one time, a methodical group of believers that were on fire for God, that had a fire you wouldn't believe, and that they methodically would go through the Scriptures. But God had to get me out of that and redeem me the proper way so he could use me. Now, so one of the things, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, little kids can learn that, and that can help them always to remember the name of Jesus. So there's a lot. I still even remember the prayers I did as a child with my mother every night. So these are the things that my parents did, because I was in church. My grandma was in church. My mom was in church. My dad was a believer. But, you know, there's times God has to get you out of those situations in order to really stir you and wake you up and, in fact, save your soul. Now, see, the purpose of bringing up John in his 1 John Epistle chapter 2 is that we're talking about greater love. And his testimony is, and his writing is, that there is a Son of God, his name is Jesus Christ, and there is a Father, and whoever denies the Son and the Father is a liar and an antichrist. See, that's John's testimony in this epistle. Yes, he existed. Yes, he came. Yes, he is the Son of God, the Savior of all men, the great. He's the one that did the atonement, fulfilled it, the Passover lamb. Now, Peter, in 2 Peter 1, when he goes into this, he's actually talking, you know, this is a testimony to which he was going to give. Because when he first seen this, when this first occurred with Peter, James, and John, they kept it quiet. This was something between them and the Lord. And then afterwards, after he was crucified and resurrected, then they spoke about it. Well, in 2 Peter chapter 1, 15 through 21, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Now, see, this is his second epistle. So he's, the first and second epistle of Peter are really dealing with the time that he felt that his time on earth was coming to an end, and he wanted to wrap things up and leave those behind with something so they could be firm in the faith. And so the one thing he covers in the first chapter of the second epistle, because this is it. If he wrote any more epistles, we don't know where they're at. And many have said, for Peter being, the rock, and Jesus appointed him, set him up this way. Of course, the Catholic Church, believes the long line of succession from Peter, which really isn't there, but they've made it up. You see, the thing of it is that he wanted to make sure that they understood one thing. This was the most important thing. He says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now see, they saw many mighty works. They saw Lazarus raised from the dead. John chapter 11. And so, today we have people that believe it's nothing but a fable. We have people that believe that the Word of God is nothing but a fable. Now see, I can't help you if you don't believe the Word of God is the Word of God. Nothing I can do for you. I can give you the Word of God, and if you don't have faith to believe that he is who he is, I can't help you there either. See, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Before that it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. So this is the problem the world has. Without faith, there's no way God can help you. But see, all people have faith in something, and they have some level of faith. And then Christians who come to the Lord, they have to have faith, or they can't come to him. Actually, that is the law of faith. And Paul talks about it in Romans, the law of faith. And Peter says here, we didn't follow fables, boys and girls. We saw it with our own eyes. And he says, for he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Now they saw him transfigured. In other words, moving from mere mortal to some angelic appearance with a white and a glowing and a brightness that would astound you. And in the midst of that, they saw other beings with him, angels, or, you know, what was it, Elijah and Moses, if I can remember right. But, you know, they heard it. Now, see, even when Paul was knocked off his high horse, he heard the voice, and people around him couldn't really make it out, but they heard something. And when he was being baptized, the voice came out of heaven. So there was a testimony there from the Father about who this was. And see, the point that Peter wants him to be sure is that he's placing his apostolic authority and everything he is and everything he's done on the fact that he saw this, that it is true, and that they're not fables, that they were with the Lord Jesus Christ, that Peter is an eyewitness. He was personally there, and he walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, Yahshua. They would go around together in groups, and of course they would sleep around their campfires. They were with him, being discipled by him. And of course, Peter, James, and John was up in the mount with him. He's placing every bit of authority and who he is on this fact. Now, see, I wasn't there. But see, I can read the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit can quicken this to me. And Father says to us that my spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. And so once we come to him, being born again of the Spirit, we have that relationship with the Father through his Spirit, and his Spirit will bear witness with us in our spirit that we're his children. And there's a physical sign that can happen to you, and there's a way that God can personally make himself known to you, and he won't ever appear to you, but you will know it through his Spirit and through his Word. You will know it. And I tell people, I've had a lot of brothers and sisters over the years that I've met, talked to and stuff, and you know, God always finds a way to reveal himself to those who believe in him. Because that is the promise, my spirit will bear witness with your spirit. And so Peter's getting ready to pass on, and he wants to make sure that these people know that what they're teaching and what they're preaching and what they're following is not a fable. Why? Because as soon as Peter and the boys all pass on, there's going to be grievous wolves enter in. They're going to be bringing fables. They're going to be replacing Jesus Christ. And I can tell you a couple of examples. Mormonism is one of the biggest examples of replacing something, along with the Catholic Church and some of their misuse of Scripture. And there's quite a number of others. Now, I'm here to tell you that we're not to follow cunningly devised fables. We don't follow a fable. There is no other Savior. There is no other gospel. God didn't start this thing all over just for the Mormons and give them a bunch of tablets to make them think, you know, that they're the true religion. And he didn't replace Jerusalem with Salt Lake City and didn't tell them that he's going to destroy Israel and keep America standing for the Mormons and Salt Lake. And neither did he say that he was going to save Rome over Jerusalem. Matter of fact, Rome in the Catholic Church during the time of the Roman Empire was pillaged a number of times by barbarians. And yes, Christians were killed. So while we're in the end times and while we're discussing what is true and what is a greater love, know this, that you read a book and it's called a Bible. Others read other holy books, but yours is the true book. And there is a true Father, there's a true Son, and he gave of his Spirit to you to bear witness with you and gave his word, which is truth, to teach you and to move in your heart. We have, and this is where Peter gets into it, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. Now that's what I'm telling you tonight. You need to take heed to what Peter's saying here. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place. And in America, this is a dark place. We may think we're full of light, but we're not. We're full of darkness. We're full of perversion. We're full of pride and rebellion. He says, you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. That day star, of course, is Yeshua, Jesus Christ. We are in a dark place in this world. We are in the end of the end of days. And there are lots of false prophets, false apostles, false this, false that. And you have people by the gobs, which are Muslim jihadists, that would stop at nothing to slaughter as many Christians and unbelievers as they could get their hands on. But I'm not an unbeliever, because I know the true and living God, and I know his Son, Yahshua, Jesus Christ. And I can tell you on the authority what I know in my heart and soul, and I base my very soul and life on, and on the Scripture and the Word of God, which is truth, that there is only one God and Father who has sent of his only begotten Son, and that is the greater love, and there is no greater love, and he is on the throne, he's coming back again, and he's going to put down all principality and power. I know that. He says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You see, all them prophets you like to read, Jeremiah, Isaiah, or maybe the Psalms you like to listen to, or Psalm 91 you like to stand on, or you like to read John, or you like the epistles, you know, all of those, just flesh, that were redeemed by God, empowered, rejuvenated, regenerated through his Holy Spirit. And he gave them his word. And God gave prophecy. And see, today, the very prophecy that he gave to Jeremiah, he gave to Moses, you know, any number of them is in your Bible today. And it's not private. Anybody can read it. And it's not where some guy can come in and say, oh, well, you know, this is the way it is, that all this is a lie. Now, see, there's a lot of people that try to push a private interpretation of the Scriptures. Matter of fact, there's Jehovah's Witnesses even Mormonism again, you know, and a few others, and they've all made their own Bible, including the Catholics, and they put their own stuff in it, and, you know, arranged it to where they can talk to people. You see, I'm not here to belabor the point. The point is, I'm not going to argue with you. I know the truth. If you listen, fine. If you don't, then your condemnation be on your own head. You see, because I'm here to declare and give a testimony and a witness. That's what I do. I'm not here to twist your arm and make you confess just because I may be bigger or tougher or whatever. God wants people to believe on him willingly and freely and to understand what he really did and the sacrifices that his son made, who died on the cross for your sins. But see, clear from the beginning of time, it's always been God. For when we didn't know God and we were in our sins, Christ died for us. God sent of his only begotten son even when we were wicked. God sought to redeem man the minute he fell. Matter of fact, Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. In fact, God and the Son in the beginning of the world actually put this plan together long before Adam ever fell, Adam and Eve. So, no greater love. Peter's talking about this thing, this great, magnificent belief we have in our God and Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. That is the greater love. And that is not a cunningly devised fable. We didn't make it up, but we saw it with our own eyes. We heard him with our own ears. Our hearts burned within us when he spoke. We saw the miracles that no other man could do. We heard him when he said that he was the Father, in the Father, and the Father in him. We saw him on the cross. We saw him taken down from the cross. He was put into the tomb. We knew where he was laid. We saw him when he was resurrected. He appeared to us. He ate with us. He talked with us. We saw him ascend in a cloud with two angels standing beside him, saying he was coming again. Now see, if you don't want to believe it, that's your business. But I know it's true. I wasn't there, but I know it's true. Because I've read the testimony, and the Spirit of the living God has revealed to me these are real. Now see, you have to understand that the enemy will stop at anything to tear away your hope. He will fill your heart with fear, and fear will lead to you losing faith every time. We don't walk by fear. We don't walk by paranoia. We don't walk in foolishness. We walk in faith. Faith. Believing that our God and Father sent of his only begotten Son, Yahshua, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And he was dead and resurrected, seen alive by many infallible proofs. Gave instructions to the church. Ascended to the right hand of the Father's coming again. And that's where we're at. We're waiting for him to come back. See, I thought many times it'd been great to be there to witness the miracles that he did. But see, I believe absolutely that you and I will be the generation that will see the literal, physical return of the Son of Almighty God to this earth. He is Almighty. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is the Word. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the greater Son of David. and he will rule and reign. Now you see, I believe that. And my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his blood and his righteousness. And like the song goes, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. In other words, we don't lean on anything else but Jesus, Yahshua. Now see, that's the greater love, is that we can lean on him. We can look to him. We know that he will never leave us or forsake us, and he will be there. Now, gotta find my... So, we are in... I gotta do this here, folks. Hang on. 2 Peter 2:20. You know, there are people, though, that fall away. And, you know, Peter deals with that in his second epistle as well. So, you know, the first thing we covered was that he wanted to get through to him that these weren't devised fables. We didn't make this stuff up. We were eyewitnesses. Now, the second thing he's going to talk about is this. 2 Peter 2:20. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, overcome and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now see, the Muslims do view dogs as being unclean, and dogs can do things that are very unclean. And one thing that you will see is if a dog vomits, many times they'll lap it up again. Now you see, that's disgusting. But see, that's the scenario Peter used to get you to understand what happens if you come to the Lord and suddenly turn around and get tangled back up in what you were in and fall away from Christ. He says the end is far worse. You thought you know, it was bad for you before. If you come to the Lord and you suddenly turn around and you fall away again, then the outcome of who you are and what you are is going to be worse than ever before. See, once you start this, don't ever think about quitting. Never. There is a greater love tonight, and that love can help you. Now, see, in the church, we have a lot of psychiatrists and sociologists and every kind of ologist. In the world, we have the same thing. And they all want to tell you something. Well, you know, you got this problem, you got that problem. Well, see, God says you have a sin problem. But see, more importantly than that, his son openly triumphed over every principality and power. And by the stripes that he bore upon the tree, that is the cross, you have been healed, both spiritually and physically. You have been healed. There is a healing connected to the atonement. And we can believe in a God and a Savior that heals and delivers. So you don't need to fall away. You need to buckle up. You need to look to the Lord. And you need to believe that all things are possible. And if you can't believe it, find a brother or sister there that you can lean on, that can encourage you and get you out of the mully grubs. You need to rebuke that spirit. You need to bind that spirit. You need to cast the spirit far from you. And that's why you need somebody that understands this kind of stuff. And I understand it. And I've done it more than once. These foul, stinking, lousy, rotten spirits, these demons, will stop at anything to ruin you. But they know that they've been defeated at the cross. And if you will remember the cross, and that Christ triumphed over all principality and power, and that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, you know that you can take care of this. You can bind those thoughts, you can bind those feelings, you can bind them spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, because that's no greater love too. Christ didn't deliver you from your sins to let you get caught up in all kinds of iniquity and fleshly entanglements, but he died for you so that you can be delivered from that sin and the desires and the lust thereof, so you can be free from it, so you can walk in holiness, so you can look to God and you can have a clean conscience. You can be walking in the light as he is in the light. But God forbid those who fall away. When you begin to do the same things again, every demon in hell rejoices because they know they have you. But then the scenario of a dog lapping up his own vomit, that's what that is. When you find a Christian that turns away and goes back to the way they were and forsakes Christ, that's what they're doing. They're like a dog lapping up their own vomit again. Now see, that's a disgusting picture, and Peter painted it on purpose. Because falling away from the Lord is disgusting, and the end thereof is death. And Christ didn't come to condemn the world, to send you to hell. He came to die on the cross to provide an atonement for your sin, so that you believing would be justified just as Abraham was justified when he believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. And because Christ shed blood, the law says it's in the blood where the atonement is. The blood was to be used for the atonement, both in the Old Testament, the Torah, and in the New Testament. Blood is the atonement. That is the atoning material, the blood. It was used for that. That's what it is. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It has the power to save and deliver. When you believe, then God imputes it unto you for righteousness' sake. For we are justified not by the law, nor by works, but by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith is that vehicle. That's that law of faith that you need. Grace is that thing that emanates out of God's mercy. See, God's mercy comes out of his love. Because he loved you, he gave you mercy. And out of his mercy, he provided a tool called grace. There's that time that God gives you for him that he says, if you will do this during this time, I will forgive you. That's his grace. Have you ever heard of a grace period, you know? Well, I've got to make the payment on the 15th, but they give me 5 more days and they won't give me a penalty. Well, God did the same thing. He was the first one to do it. It has to do with the atonement. And we are still in the time of grace. But folks, one of these days, the era and the time of his grace is going to be done. Yes, done. Grace is not going to go on forever. It's going to come to an end. There's going to be a penalty. There's going to be accounting done. The auditor is going to come in, and that auditor is the Lord God. But he has given all this power into the hands of Yahshua, Jesus Christ. In Revelation, he calls himself the Almighty. He is the beginning and the end and everything in between, the Almighty. He is the Lamb that's also slain before the foundation of the world. He's the Lamb that was before the throne in Revelation, having been slain. He was there. That picture there in Revelation, That's what he looked like after he got done by the cross, and that's the spiritual aspect of it when he appeared before God. He had to be able to take those seals, and open them so the book of Revelation could be written. Because the book of Revelation is not about all of the judgments. See, that's what we think. That's not what it's about. It's about the Christ, the Savior, and His Father. Revelation is about the unveiling of the kingdom of Yahshua, Jesus Christ, forever and ever. And the judgment of sin and wickedness, and of the devil and his wicked angels. And he will firmly, completely, finally eradicate it forever. No greater love. You know, the thing of it is that there's so many things that you and I need to be thankful for. You know, and understand the real miracle that he did. Redeeming us, saving us, making a way for us. And, you know, the thing that really bothers me at time or two, I have a burden for, is the kids. And see what they're doing to the children in the school system. You know, our school systems, they're about as anti-Christ as you can get. And if your kids are in the school system, you need to really pay attention. You need to watch them. You know, and I see all these kids around here, and I see the way they are. And they're, you know, and really our whole society, and the way it is today, is the result of sin. But see, adults have made their choice. Children, though, are innocent. So if the devil can get them corrupted in an early age, then they know. The devil knows. You know, God says in the Word, if you'll train up a child in the way he should go when he's older, when he gets older, when he grows up, he'll not depart from it. When I came to the Lord, I told my dad that very scripture. Now, you see, my dad saw to it that I was in church. Into the right church. And although they didn't get everything, you know, I didn't get saved. God takes care of the saving. And the deliverance. But I look at these kids, and my heart goes out to them, because many of them were born into this mess we call the end days. And they need help. They need prayer. They need adults to be living godly lives. These children need to be able to look around and find a godly Christian who's willing to stand up and pray for them, help them, give them guidance. The kids need help, folks. There's a lot of adults that need help, but a lot of them are living the fruits of their own ignorance, their own choices, let's put it that way. This is not a game. But no greater love. That's where you want to be tonight. Sheltered in the arms of a God who really loves you, who sent his son to die on the cross for you, He really loves you, filling you with His Spirit to guide you and give you comfort. And He gave you the Word, which is the living Word, and it will not return void, but it'll do what God has sent it forth to accomplish. Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight, and we thank You for all of those listen whenever they do. Lord, help them to have ears to hear. Feed them. Meet their needs, Lord, undertake. And for their children, Lord, I pray their children will come to know You. In Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Okay, I'm here. That was a good show tonight, a good teaching. I got to listen to it again. There's some things I want to re-listen to, re-hear.
Well, you've got a little under 4 minutes, so we can talk a bit.
Well, I don't know what to say. I'm pretty tired tonight.
Well, we've known a few children that need help, have we not?
Oh, man. I was thinking of that girl that we seen the other night, tattooed all over her body and pregnant. She's probably in her 20s, early 20s. That's just disturbing to me, you know. You know she doesn't know the Lord. She's just part of this heathenistic society, and it's heartbreaking. And then she's going to have a baby.
And both her and the baby will be subject to the fruits of the sin that they're in the midst of.
Oh, I know.
Everything has repercussions.
Yeah, and you want to reach them. You want to get a hold of them through the Lord.
Well, you do.
Pray for opportunities. I guess you just need to pray for opportunities.
Well, you know, if you could talk to every child in America, it wouldn't do you any good. I mean, there's no way we can do it. But the thing
there would be some that would come, because there are some that are hungry, I believe.
Well, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know.
You know, what it takes is for those close to these kids that know the Lord to move to help them.
Yes.
If these kids that want help. And that's all there is to it.
Some of them just don't. Flat out don't want help.
No, they don't. So at any rate, remember, judgment in all of its forms is redemptive. Even anything that happens to America, God is not out to judge America just to kill people. It's always redemptive. Always. Out of it, He seeks redemption, reunification with those to bring them back unto Him. That's God's purposes every time. And with the church, it's to get them back to their first love. With the wicked who refuse to repent, they will die. It's as simple as that. That's why you need to repent.
Yes, amen.
Well, we got to say goodnight, Tower.
Well, goodnight, everybody. Enjoy your Sabbath rest. We thank you for listening. May God bless you richly. Thank you for all you do for the kingdom of God. God bless you. We love you and we pray for you all. You're in our hearts.
Yes, we thank you. We'll see you next week. And the week after that, remember, during the eclipse, we're going to be doing some special processing of video and putting it up. But we will not have the regular shows. Remember to go to our websites, warren-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. Read the articles. You know, download the shows. We are also on many other places, so many to mention here. But, you know, remember to get the app, the Warren Radio Remnant Battle Lines Android app. Get it in the Google Play Store. You can go to our website, warren-usa.com, on the front page, and there's a link to it. Be sure to look up. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Goodbye. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.